What defines us as children of God is not how we handle the good times, but how we handle the bad times. Want us to talk about that for a little bit this morning. And our text is going to come from Psalm 5. I invite you to turn your Bibles there, and we will be looking at that psalm this morning. Before we get into the lesson, it's good to see everyone out again this morning. We need to be praying for one another. There's so much going on in the world with each other, with different things. We just need to keep praying for one another. This is defined as a trust psalm. And with a trust psalm, there's basically four elements. There's an expression of anxiety, which we talked a little bit about in class this morning, what it means to be anxious. So there's an expression of anxiety. There's an expression of confidence. The reaction to the result of that confidence, which would either be a feeling of peace or a feeling of contentment. For example, in Psalm 3, it is sleep, no tossing and turning. And then in the psalm, it often reflects on God's deliverance from times past. Psalm 5 is also a prayer and petition psalm. And we can look at the text of Psalm 5 and see there are some specific concerns on the mind of the psalmist. He voices that concern, and then he gives a specific request to God how he would like that concern dealt with. He expresses his trust that the Lord will answer his prayer. You know, we are taught to cast our prayer upon God. When we try to carry them ourselves, they burden us down. And again, the word that is used here in 1 Peter 5, talking about casting your care. Peter was a fisherman by trade, and he would cast nets. But when you would cast the net as a fisherman, you would pull that net back in. That's not the idea that's used here. This idea of casting our care upon the Lord is like taking a blanket and taking that blanket and casting it on that horse. And then that horse is going to carry that blanket. That horse is going to carry that saddle, that load. We cast our care on God, and then God will carry that load. Our willingness and ability to do this reflects our relationship with God. Again, so many times we try to carry the load ourselves instead of casting it on God. But Psalm 5, an example of a man of faith, David, who trusted in God in the face of all the enemies that he had. You think about people today and all the enemies that they have, and there are a lot of people with a lot of enemies. David would have to rank right up there at the top. So by his life, we learn to do the same with our life of trusting in God. In 1 Peter 5, 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He wants to carry our load. Again, we are selfish with so many things and don't want to even turn our load over to somebody else. We think we can handle it ourselves. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And who's he going to devour? He's going to devour the weak one. He's going to devour the one that's distracted. And we don't want to be either one of those. So Psalm 5, verse 1, this was written to the chief musician with flutes, a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up to you. Just a couple things to point out from these verses. Notice that prayer is personal. My Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry. Notice that prayer is words. It's words and voice. My voice you shall hear in the morning. Some people, some of these modern religions talk about praying to God or some deity, and it's just this feeling that you have. It's your thoughts. Here we see that prayer is my voice you shall hear in the morning. In the morning I will direct it to you. And it's interesting too, I will direct it to you and I will look up. David is expecting God to answer his prayer. Remember that God hears and answers our prayers. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. And David often begins Psalms in this way. Back in Psalm 4, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Psalm 55:17 teaches us that we need to pray all the time. One of the reasons we may be anxious and overburdened is because we don't take our cares and our concerns to the Lord. When did David pray? Morning, noon, evening. Evening and morning and noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Again, it's that regular, repetitive prayer that God wants to hear and that we need to offer. We need to make a deliberate commitment to prayer. In verse 3, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up. When did David pray? We know one time for sure was in the morning because he said, I will pray in the morning. Do we let the affairs of the world take precedence first thing in the morning? And then later on in the day, oh, I forgot to pray to God. Friends, it's imperative that we make it a habit, a practice, to pray to God, to start the day in prayer to God. Why do we pray to God? For many reasons, but one of them, God responds to a heart that cries out to him. Just like a father wanting to hear from his children, God wants to hear from us and he wants to answer our prayers. We should set our words to prayer, not worry. How many times do we talk about worrying about this and worrying about that when we could use our words to take that to God? Set our heart on praying without ceasing. Set our heart on constant thanksgiving and constant worship. All the things can be going on in these troubling times. We just need to be talking about what we're thankful for every day. We have so many things to be thankful for. Where is our focus? Then every day can be a day lived in expectation. When we are praying to God every day and asking him for things, then we can be expecting something from him every day. We can be expecting it. It's like when you order something and you wait for the mailman to come or the delivery man to come. You're waiting for that delivery. And when we recognize that God wants to respond to our prayers, we offer up that prayer, and then we have that hopeful, joyful expectation that God is going to answer that prayer. His promises are always true. His power is always at work in our lives. You think back, any one of us, and we can see God's fingerprints all over our lives from when we were young up to today. And we should, in our voice, in our words, let our words be filled with expectation and let our expectation find a voice that sings his praises. For all that God has done for us, we should be singing to him all the time. It's good we can sing when we come together, but it shouldn't just be limited to when we come together. David gets to the point of his concern in verses 4 to 7. God is one who hates and despises all sorts of wickedness, from being boastful to shedding blood and the things he mentions through these verses. So remember God's warnings to the wicked. In verse 4, you're not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors bloodthirsty and deceitful man. Everything that goes on that's evil and corrupt and wicked, God does not overlook it. And notice some of the words that talk about the same thing. Wickedness, evil, boastful, arrogant, iniquity. God hates them all. And maybe sometimes we think that God does not see what's going on. He sees what's going on and he hates these things. So what do? We need to trust in God's moral clarity. When we know that he hates what's wrong, we have to love what is right. And when we understand that evil is reprehensible to God, that helps us keep on living a clean moral life and trusting God to avenge his people. When we understand that God hates evil, that's going to help to keep us from falling in with that evil. Whether we or others, workers of iniquity, we will not stand before God. Light cannot have fellowship with darkness. The wicked cannot expect help from God. So if we are crying out to God in troubling times, and we have sin in our life, why would we expect God to answer our prayers? We can say, well, I'm not as bad as that person. Well, sin is sin. It separates us from God. We need to have a clean heart. We need to cry out to him all the time. We need to set our face on praising God, set our voice, not just think about it in our mind, get it out of our mind and get it on our lips. So this gives us confidence when we pray to God. God hears the cries of the righteous when evil surrounds them. You think about Moses and the Israelites when they were leaving Egypt and at the Red Sea. God delivered them, compels us to live righteously in order to be heard by God. We want our prayers to be heard, yet we want to live however we want to live. Romans 3:13, their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. When we are doing this, when we are singing to God, when we are praising God, we find renewal. We find strength in worship. God's mercy enables and provides our worship to God. When times are troubling and things are going on and somebody says, I just don't feel like worshiping God. There's just so much going on. I don't feel like worshiping God. Friends, God's mercy enables and provides us to be able to worship him. Verse 7, but as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. David was a man that worshiped God all the time. Worship is a moment of mercy and a time of praise. And God's mercy moves us to worship. We should be the most joyful people on earth because of the mercy of God. Because we understand that he has forgiven us of our sins. We understand that by the blood of Christ, we can escape the damnation of hell. And we should rejoice in that. Fear of God motivates true worship. Matthew 15. His name, the power, is holy and reverent. Psalm 111, verse 9 and 10. That's why we should worship God today and always. Also from this psalm, we see that we can depend on God's righteousness in verse 8. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. Our enemies don't depend on God's way of righteousness, and that is their undoing. And when we follow in God's righteousness, again, that's going to result in continuous praise of God. David prayed for a straight way. God's ways are the way of righteousness. Today, a lot of people they don't want a straight way, they want a fuzzy way. They want this way is okay for you and I'm going to go that way. There's a straight way, the way of righteousness. In this psalm, we learn that God denounces the wicked. In verse 9, there's no faithfulness in their mouth. What it's like we see some people speaking and we just don't trust a word that they say. We don't trust a word that they say because of their wickedness. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. We see David getting anxious isn't the right word, but we see him getting a little anxious for God to bring judgment on them. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions. They've rebelled against you. And again, we want to remember that we want God to be patient. We want God to be patient. If we want God to be patient with us, we've got to expect God to be patient with others. But God in justice pronounces guilt and punishment. There will be a day of judgment. God is a just God. He's not going to make any mistakes. Romans chapter 2 and verse 6, He will render to each one according to his deeds. And we need to note this, we're going to be judged individually. We aren't going to be judged as a family. We are not going to be judged as a church family. We are going to be judged individually. He will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. So we've got options here. We can have glory, honor, and peace, or we can have indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish. And he says both of these choices to the Jew and the Greek, there's no partiality with God. Doesn't matter what we are going to be judged not by our race, not by our family, but by our works. If it's working good or if it's working evil. And there's no partiality with God. And there, you know, we know of so many people that are dying at this time. So many people have cancer. So many people outside of the world, and so many people that say, well, you know, God's the judge. God's the judge. God is the judge, but there's no partiality with God. God is not going to save one person differently than he's going to save another. If he can save one person in denomination ABC, if he can save another person that's never been baptized, then why did he send a son to come and die on a cross for our sins? God is no respecter of persons. Romans 12:17, repay no one evil for evil, have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Again, when times are troubling and there are things going on, sometimes we want to take justice into our own hands. But Paul, writing in Romans, Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men, not your friends, all men. If it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So we do our part, God does his part, we go about doing God's will, and God's going to take care of the rest. There are too many people that want to play God or talk like they're God. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. You mean this person, this no good so-and-so, if he's hungry, I'm supposed to feed him? Yeah, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. And again, that's a reference back to the time when they would have fires in their house that they depended on for heat, for cooking. If their fires went out, they would go and get coals from another person. And that was a common way of carrying things in these baskets on their head. This phrase is an act of kindness, for in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So think about this. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. That's sometimes hard for us to stop and think about. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. But that's what we would want them to do to us. That's what Christ did to us, being his enemies when we sinned. Again, he didn't just feed us. He didn't just give us a drink of water. He came down and gave his life for us. Remember, don't be anxious if it appears that the wicked prosper. God's going to judge them in the end. He's going to repay. We need to repay evil with good. We don't retaliate. We trust the Lord to repay evil. God is the just one. It's his law. His justice is pure. His decisions are pure. And we just need to trust in the Lord. 1 Timothy 6:11. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. See, when we see things going on that we get upset about, when we have enemies, when we are troubled, when our heart is troubled, what should we do? We should just hunker down and pursue righteousness. We should set our face on godliness. We should determine we're going to grow our faith, we're going to have more love, we're going to have patience, we're going to have gentleness. And we are going to grow stronger during these times. But if we don't, if we give Satan that little crack, we leave that door open, that little bit crack for him to come into our heart, he's going to come in and take up residency in our heart, and then take more and more and more. After David expresses what he would like God to do to the wicked, then he expresses what he would like God to do to the righteous. He wants them to be given a heart of gladness with which they could sing with joy. And you stop and think about it, God gave us these lips, God gave us this mind, not to use for evil, but to use for good, and to praise him, and to praise him with joy. David wants the righteous to be provided a shelter so they might have just cause for exalting in the Lord. He wants the Lord to bless the righteous. The idea of blessing is expressed in surrounding him with favor. We want the favor of God. That's protection. That allows him not to have discomfort in whatsoever, anything. We want to have the favor of God. We will not have the favor of God if we are not living a righteous life. And as I mentioned at the beginning, even back from the beginning of this psalm, David anticipates the blessings and favors of the righteous. Just like he prays to God in the morning and he waits and anticipates the answer, he anticipates the blessings and favors. Verse 11, but let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, he will surround him as with a shield. Not only is God going to protect us and surround us, he says surround us as with a shield. You think about going into a battle, and we're in a battle. Satan is after us. He's the enemy. God is going to defend us. He's going to put a shield over us to protect us. When we think about burdens and they get us down, what gets us out of that? What gets us out of when we're down with those burdens? There's so many songs. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. How can you sing that song and not feel good after singing it? Again, David talking about praising God and singing praises to God. We need to rejoice in the victory of faith over sin's pain and death at the cross. There's a lot of bad things here, but it's only temporary. We need to be joyful in God's protection. God will bless the righteous in verse 12. We have the anticipation, again, of future blessings. Compare that with James 5. We have the crown of righteousness when sin and death are forever defeated. And God's people will share in eternal glory if we are faithful. And God has given us everything to strengthen us to be faithful and to the point of death. In verse 12, David again returns to the theme of being a shield. Compare that with Psalm 3. David does not believe the Lord would surround a wicked man, although temporary blessings may cause one to doubt. We see the wicked prospering, and we think, why isn't God doing something? But we got to keep in mind God's favor. David knows that the loving God intends to bestow his great blessings on those who are his. Again, just like we talked about in Luke chapter 12 this morning, we don't need to worry about tomorrow. We don't need to be anxious. If God takes care of the ravens, if he takes care of the lilies, the grass of the field, those lesser, smaller things, he is going to take care of us that he created to live eternally. Matthew 7 verse 9, or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God has so much he wants to give us. If we walk in his ways, if we are faithful to him, if we as his children ask him, and it may not be in the ways that we expect it, and it may be withholding something from us for our own protection, but when we finish this short time here on earth and we think of what's waiting for us, he's going to give us things beyond our imagination. So in Psalm chapter 5 here, we have this morning prayer, the first three verses, the God's warnings to the wicked. We find renewal and strength in worship. We need to depend on God's way of righteousness. We know that God is going to denounce the wicked. He's going to bring about justice on them. And we need to look forward to the blessings and favors of the righteous. And friends, remember, the prince of this world knows that the message that you allow in your heart will forever shape you. He knows if you're thinking about good in your heart, that's going to shape you. He knows if you're thinking about evil in your heart, it's going to shape you. And He's going to be busy every day trying to fill your heart with His messages. We've got to work to get His messages out of our heart. And we've got to work with putting God's message, His word, into our heart. And those messages, if we allow to dwell in our heart, if we allow Satan's messages to dwell in our heart, they're going to destroy our soul. How's that going to work out in troubling times? And Satan will use troubling times to recruit more people into his army. We need to be aware of what he's trying to do. David's central request, "Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face." We know the enemy's game plan. David is praying for God's game plan. We walk the straight path of God and we cast all of our care on Him. He will carry our anxieties. He will protect us from spiritual danger. And He will bring us home to glory. What defines us as children of God is not how we handle the good times, but how we handle the bad times. Friends, God has done any and everything for us to save us on His part. It's up to our part to do what we need to do. Friends, if there's anyone that needs to respond this morning, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.